Good morning, church.
Good morning.
Are you guys stuffed to the gills after Thanksgiving? Anybody overeat? Or is that a silly question, right? Yeah, I think somebody asked me that question. Thanks a lot, Don. Somebody asked me that question the other day, and I said, you know what? I think, actually, I paced myself this year. I don't think I really overate too much, but I guess overeating is overeating, right? Last week, we looked at some of the red letters in the Bible, and some of you might be asking yourself, red letters, what in the world are you talking about? Well, when I mention red letters in the Bible, this is what I mean. If you notice in some Bibles, the words that Jesus spoke are actually written in red. They're the important words that we really need to pay attention to. They're significant words that we need to pay attention to. And so today we're going to be looking at another story that Jesus told, a parable, which of course is written in red. I asked you the question last week, I'll ask you the question again this week, what is a parable? The parable, simply put, is an earthly story with a deeper spiritual truth. It was something that Jesus would use from everyday life in order to teach a deeper spiritual meaning. Now today what I want us to do is look at the parable of the sower. And the parable of the sower is basically a story of a farmer out sowing seed. Open up your Bibles if you have them with you, or maybe clicking your Bibles if you have a Bible app on your phone, to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13. Now when you look at the story that Jesus is telling here, the parable, the sower in the parable is representing Jesus Christ. The sower in the story represents Jesus Christ. The seed in the story represents the gospel or the good news. And the soil in the story represents the condition of people's hearts who hear the word of God. It represents the condition of people's hearts who hear the word of God. Now, if you look at Matthew chapter 13, verses 1 through 3, this is what it says. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and he sat in it while all the people stood on the shore. And then he told them many things in parables, saying, a farmer went out to sow his seed. Now again, I said last week, and I'll say it again this week, a parable is something that Jesus would teach from everyday life. He would use it from everyday life in order to teach a spiritual truth. And in my mind, we've got Jesus now in a boat. He's pushed out from shore just maybe 10 feet or so maybe, and he's pushed out from shore, and the people are lined up on the shoreline. They're sitting on the shoreline. They're listening to what Jesus would say, would have to say. And actually, Jesus could probably see a farmer in the distance. See a farmer in the field. And he's trying to teach a truth by saying, hey guys, look behind you. See that farmer up there on the hillside? See that farmer out there in the field? And then the parable goes on. As he was scattering the seed, as the farmer was scattering the seed, some fell along the path and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. So other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop, 100, 60, 30 times what was sown. Now jump down to verse 18. Let's read through verse 23. Listen then to what the parable of the sower means, Jesus said. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is the seed sown along the path. The one who received the seed on rocky places is the man who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since it has no root, he lasts only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, he quickly falls away. The one who received the seed that fell among the thorns is the man who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke it, making it unfruitful. But the one who received the seed that fell on the good soil is the man who hears the word and understands it. He produces a crop yielding 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. Now, there was a preacher one time who wanted to preach on this very text, and he did. But what he wanted to do in preaching the text was this. He wanted to give this people a visual, and so he placed four different worms in four separate jars. The first worm was in a jar filled with alcohol. The second worm was in a jar filled with cigarette smoke. The third jar was The third worm was in a jar filled with chocolate syrup. And then the fourth worm was in a jar filled with good, clean soil. The preacher went ahead and preached a sermon. At the end of the sermon, he then reported the results. He said, "See, the worm in the alcohol is dead." He picked up the second jar. "See, the worm in the cigarette smoke is dead." And then he picked up the third jar. "See, the worm in the chocolate syrup, it's dead. But the worm in the good, clean soil, it's very, very alive." And so he asked the church, he said, "What'd you learn from the demonstration?" And there was this elderly lady sitting in the back row of the church. She raises her hand. She goes, "I know what it means. I know what it teaches. I know what the parable means there. I know what you're trying to talk about." And he says, "Well, what am I trying to talk about here?" She says, "I know what it means. As long as you smoke and drink and eat chocolate, you won't have worms, right?" Today, I don't want to talk about worms. Today, I want to talk about the condition of your heart. The condition of your heart. So much of what you think, so much of what you feel, so much of what you say, so much of what you communicate to other people actually comes from your heart. Proverbs chapter 4 says, "Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it." The parable today that we're going to talk about is the condition of your heart and how each of us tends to respond to the good news of Jesus Christ. Let's look at the first type of soil, and that's the soil that is the path. The path represents a hard heart. The sower would sow the seed and it fell on the path where people would walk on it, people would pack it down, and it would be very, very hard. And because of that, the seed could not penetrate the path. Because of that, the seed couldn't penetrate the path and couldn't establish a root system. It was vulnerable to the sun. It was vulnerable to the rain and the wind. It was vulnerable to the hot and the cold. It was vulnerable in the story to the birds. You see, it's a heart that's hardened against God. You see, a heart that's hard is in confusion, I believe. It says in the text that we hear the gospel. Oh, they hear the gospel, but they don't understand what the gospel means. Why is it so important, folks, for us to understand the Word of God? It's important because if you don't understand the Word of God, you can't apply it to your life. That's why if we're not careful, the gospel, even though we're inundated with the gospel, even though you can turn on the TV pretty much any time of day, you can go to YouTube, you can go to Vimeo, you can go to anywhere you want, and you can find the gospel. But understand, if you don't understand it, it will be totally missed on you. It'll be totally lost on you. And interestingly today, fewer Americans identify themselves as Christians than 50 years ago. And why is that? Why do fewer Americans today identify as Christians as did 50 years ago? I think there are a number of different reasons. Here's one reason I think that's the case. You see, we share the gospel in words that we understand. We share the gospel with words that we understand and other people don't understand. You see, those people who aren't in the church may have no idea as to what we're talking about. We've got to be very aware of the terminology that we use with people who live far, far away from God. You see, if they don't understand the terminology, what happens? I'll tell you what happens. The gospel never takes hold in their life. The gospel never takes root in their life. Because they don't understand what it means, what it says, the devil comes along and he plucks it away from them. Why is the devil so bound and determined to take the gospel away from us? Because he knows how powerful the gospel really, truly is. You see, that's why the devil doesn't want you to understand it. That's why he doesn't want you to be able to comprehend God's word. He knows that your life will never, ever be the same if you really, truly understand it. Now, here's the second soil. It's the rocky soil, the rocky places. That represents a shallow heart. A shallow heart. The rocky soil doesn't have a lot of topsoil. Sandy and I have been to Israel quite a few times, and around the Sea of Galilee, they call it the Galilee up in that area of Israel. In the Galilee, the soil there doesn't have a lot of doesn't have a lot to it. It's very, very rocky. You look at the hills around the Sea of Galilee, there are plants growing all around. It looks really, really lush up in the Galilee, but the topsoil there is very, very thin. And this represents the believer who begins very, very quickly. Oh, they shoot up very quickly, but guess what? They have no roots, no biblical foundation. One preacher said, the problem is that too many Christians are saved today. Not enough Christians are actually converted today. We hear the gospel, but we just really aren't changed. That's why the shallow heart is filled with emotion. The shallow heart is filled with excitement. I mean, we receive the gospel. I mean, we're really excited about it. We receive the gospel. We're pumped about it. I mean, I've seen this happen a dozen times, if I haven't seen it two dozen times. You're pumped up about it, and on the outside, you look healthy, spiritually speaking, but on the inside, you're spiritually shallow. That's why you never know how deep you really are spiritually unless you have some persecution come your way. One of the ways to overcome a shallow heart is to read God's Word. One way to overcome a shallow heart is actually get in God's Word. Let me ask you this question. And some of you may feel very uncomfortable by me asking this question. Are you reading your Bible consistently? Are you reading your Bible consistently? I mean, I tell you, there are a lot of Bible apps out there if you carry a smartphone or a tablet or you're on your computer very much. There are a lot of Bible apps out there. One great Bible app for you to get into the Bible is called YouVersion, the YouVersion Bible. Get into that app and sign up, and guess what? They will send you Bible reading every single day. You say, well, you know what? That's all well and good, but what if I skip a day? What if I miss a day? What if I miss a week? What if I miss a month? Hey, listen, don't worry about it. Just go right back to it and pick it right back up. That's all you've got to do. There are a number of Bible apps out there that will get you into the Word every single day. YouVersion Bible is one of those Bible apps that will get you into the Bible every single day. Here's another novel thought. Why don't you make a contract with a friend of yours and ask them to hold you accountable for your daily Bible reading? Why don't you do something like that? Do you guys remember Mario Gonzalez? Some of you do. Mario Gonzalez used to be our children's minister here. Mario still communicates with one of our other ministers, Keith Kramer, retired minister Keith Kramer, Monday through Friday, and they check one another just to make sure they're still reading their Bible every single day. So why don't you find a friend of yours, maybe a coworker of yours, maybe a family member of yours, maybe just a good friend of yours to keep you accountable? You see, what's the enemy of a shallow heart? I think the enemy of a shallow heart is discouragement. We fall away when we have financial troubles. We fall away when we have relationship troubles. We fall away when we lose our job or have health issues. And what did we say? Well, you know what, God? Why is this happening to me? Why is this happening to me? If we're not careful, we'll conclude that, you know what, it really doesn't make much of a difference at all to have God in my life. See, that's why you need to be a part. That's why you need to be a part of a connection group. That's why you need to be a part of a Sunday school class. That's why you need to be a part of a group of people who can rally around you to overcome discouragement. Now, there's a third soil that Jesus talked about, and that's the thorny soil or the thorny ground. The thorny soil, the thorny ground represents the crowded heart. It represents the crowded heart. We hear about Jesus. We accept Jesus. But you know what? Jesus Christ is crowded out. Other things in our lives gets us off target. This is the heart that's filled with distractions. The good in life is the enemy of the best in life. Too many things are on our plate. What is it that chokes out God's Word? Specifically, the text says, the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth. Those kinds of things choke out our love for God. The worries of this life, what's that mean? Well, you know what? I got to pay the bills. Yeah, I got to make enough money to pay the bills. I got to keep my kids safe. Oh, I'm supposed to exercise every single day. I've got to make sure that my kids are involved in everything they can be involved in, even though we can't afford them. I've got to make sure they're involved in everything just to keep up with their friends. We had some next door neighbors of ours in Denver, Colorado, and they spent anywhere from $8,000 to $10,000 a year. They had two kids, anywhere from $8,000 to $10,000 a year on their daughter's softball. They were hoping that she would get a full ride scholarship at a major university here in the United States. They themselves spent anywhere from $10,000 to $12,000 every single year on their own expenses following their daughter. And fortunately, she was so good that she did get a D1 scholarship to the University of Kansas, a full ride scholarship. It's rare for most kids to get a full ride D1 scholarship. Did you know that only 1.6% of girls get a scholarship in girls' golf? Only 1.6%. Get this, boys' football, 1.4%. Basketball, 0.7%. Boys' golf, I pointed this out to Jay, boys' golf, 0.6%. Baseball, 0.6%. Wrestling, 0.3%. And don't get me wrong, I'm not beating up on sports. I played sports clear through high school. I love sports. Got to college, I played intramural sports. Our kids, they were involved in sports all the time. But here's where the problem comes. It's when sports takes the place of the church. It's where sports take the place of God. We've got to make sure that we don't let these other distractions push God out of the way. See, the worries of this life can get us off target. It's not bad, but if it takes you off target, the target of Jesus Christ, it can choke out your love for Him. It says in the text, the deceitfulness of wealth. I mean, most people today believe that money will solve all of your problems. Oh, if I only had a little bit more money, I'd be sitting fine. I've talked with a lot of people who have a lot of money. And you know what they tell me? They tell me that money does not solve all their problems. The only thing money does for them is to create a whole new set of problems. And I've said it before, and I'll say it again. I really believe it. The Bible says that there's nothing wrong with having a lot of money. Nothing wrong at all with having a lot of money in your life. You see, the issue when it comes to the Bible, the issue when it comes to God is this. It's the love of money. That's the issue. You can't love both God and money. One will choke the other one out. And so what's the driving passion of your life? What's the driving passion? Is it money? Is that the driving force in your life? Maybe for you it's a relationship. Maybe for you it's cars or all your toys. What's the driving passion? Maybe it's how you look, the driving passion. You know what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6? He said in Matthew chapter 6, seek first His kingdom, and when you seek His kingdom first, all these other things will just fall into place. It may not be easy, but they will fall into place. That is, if you seek God first. Make sure the money and all these things that we worry about don't choke God out in our lives. And then number four, we've got the good soil. The good soil represents an open heart. You see, you hear, and you obey the Word of God. You see and you hear and you obey the Word of God. You understand the Word, and because you understand the Word, it produces fruit. You say, what are you talking about? We'll get to that in a little bit. But it produces fruit. You see, this is a heart that's filled with obedience. And you know what I find interesting in the Bible? The Bible doesn't tell you how to be obedient. The Bible doesn't tell you how to be pure. What the Bible does is this. The Bible tells you about the results of an obedient heart. It tells you the results of a pure heart. The obedient heart, according to the text here that we've just read, it produces 30, 60, 100 times what was sown. If you're a farmer, that's an incredible crop. The book of Psalm, chapter 119. God, teach me. Teach me lessons for living, God. Why teach me lessons for living, God? Well, check it out. So I can stay the course. Give me insight. Why give me insight? So I can do what you tell me. My whole life, one long, obedient response. It was a long, long time ago when I learned that what we hear, we forget. I mean, most of us in a couple of days won't remember what we're talking about right now. What we see, though, we remember. You see, that's why we have outlines. That's why we have blanks so that you can fill in on your outlines. If you write it down, you'll be more prone to remember what we're talking about. You see, what we hear, we forget. What we see, we remember. What we do, we understand. Colossians chapter 1. And we pray this, in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please Him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God. And so how do I please God? How do I bring a smile to God's face? Not just by hearing. Not just by seeing. Not just by understanding. We please God by doing. We please God by producing fruit. That's what producing fruit is. It's doing. By growing and going and doing. And so where do you start bearing fruit, folks? Where do you start? We've talked about this several times in the past 4 months. You start at home. Moms and dads. Your number one mission field is your kids. Your kids may be this tall, your kids may be this tall. But you know what? Your number one mission field is that your kids know Jesus Christ. That's your number one mission field. It's not the school's responsibility. It's not even the church's responsibility that your kids come to know Jesus Christ. You go, well, wait a minute, that doesn't make sense. Oh, it makes perfect sense. The Bible says, Deuteronomy chapter 6, that the job of the parent is to share God with their kids. The church will come alongside of you. The church will help you in every way that we can. But it's your primary responsibility to raise your kids in a Christian home and to lead them into a relationship with Jesus Christ. Where do you start bearing fruit? You start bearing in the home. Where else do you bear fruit? You bear fruit next door. You do stuff next door. You reach out to your neighbors. You reach out to your neighbors. In the past decade, and these are just a few, but in the past decade, we have had a bunch, and I do mean a bunch, of mass shootings. Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Las Vegas. Orlando. Charleston. Thousand Oaks, California. Just last week, Chicago. I mean, people are being killed left and right. It seems as though at random, right? Let me ask you, have you thought about this question? What about the victim's eternity? Have you ever asked that question of yourself? I wonder if they knew Jesus. They were killed at random. I wonder if they knew Jesus. Friends, we live next to thousands upon thousands of people in our own community who are going to hell in a handbasket without Jesus Christ. And what's really sad to say, we never give it a second thought. If you own your house and you don't know Jesus, you're in a lot worse shape than if you were losing your house and you know Jesus. You start across the street. Sandy and I have been working on, all of our neighbors. Just this fall, our neighbors across the street started coming to our Bible study. Unfortunately, they're still Christians. Isn't that a sad thing to say? Unfortunately, they're Christians. But they're Christians nonetheless. So they're coming to our Bible study. That's wonderful. You start across the street. If you live in an apartment house, you start across the hallway. You reach out to your co-workers. You start by letting God change the condition of your heart to begin with. That's where it starts. You start by allowing God to change the condition of your heart. The greatest challenge, I think, for all of us is this. It's the 18-inch problem. It's approximately 18 inches from here to here. That's the problem. Jesus said in John 14, if you love me, keep my commands. Oh, we hear. Oh, we believe. Oh, we understand. But are we going to obey? What are we going to do about what we've heard? Are we going to obey? Let's pray. Our Father and our God, we are so grateful that your Son Jesus gave us this story and others like it to kind of help us realize, help us learn some of the important lessons in life. And God, I pray today that as we have looked at the parable of the four different soils, the parable of the sower, God, I pray that we'll be able to see ourselves on that continuum of different kinds of soil. And God, not just that we'll be able to see ourselves, but Father, we'll be able to identify where we are and where we need to be. God, help each of us to grow deeper. God, help each of us to be able to help others grow deeper. God, help each of us to reach out to other people so that they might come to know Jesus. We pray these things in His name. Amen. Speaking of coming to know Jesus, I hope you know Jesus. And if you don't, we're going to have a song right now. And if you want to talk to somebody about that, let me know about that. Come on up front. I'll be waiting for you. Maybe you're thinking about church membership. Let's talk about that as well. Let's all stand and sing together, shall we?